Hey, this is Tom.
And this is Gavin, and you're listening to Keep It Simple.
I don't want to be a superman. I just want to go somewhere. Use my hands and keep it simple.
Keep It Simple is a podcast devoted to exploring life with Christ through simple, organic expressions of the church.
Hey, this is Tom LeCompte.
And this is Gavin Duerson. And you're listening to Keep It Simple podcast. And we want to jump back in here and sort of have a follow-up to our inductive Bible study. There's been a lot of you all calling with the same question over and over again. We've been getting bombarded from all the
emails. The phone lines have lit up.
From questions like, well, that's inductive Bible study business sounds great, but what happens when we all can't agree on what the Bible says? What happens if our ideas are in conflict with one another, and some might even say conflict with clear counsel of the Scriptures? What do we do?
How do we know this can't work?
This possibly can't work.
Yeah.
Tom's got the answer for that.
No, I don't have the answer. But we've run into this over and over, and it is a concern of mine, I guess. And I certainly don't want to be the Pope and say this is what you absolutely must believe. But then again, you know, the Bible is truth, and it not only contains truth, it is truth, and it is reliable. And yet, you know, someone can hold up their Bible and say, this is all I need. I don't need anything else. And yet they're living a life that's just weird. And they have some of the weirdest doctrine that you've never heard of before. It's almost as if they're making it up as they go. So, what do you do?
I can, you know, it's interesting because I can speak to this because I'm presently in a situation like this, and it can be quite contentious at times, but there's love and there's acceptance of the people that are involved, but there certainly is conflict in some of the ideas in which people are bringing to the table in our house church. I'm not as concerned about it as Tom. Tom, we were talking about this before we started recording. We're like, we should just record this. But, here's my thing about it. You know, I really think that obviously there are some doctrines that I think throughout the history of the church that seem to be, you know, people, there might be some of the traditional statements of faith or creeds of the church that, you know, some people would maybe nitpick and disagree about, or this denomination, but there's certainly some of those that you can say, well, look, I think all Christians for all times, they sort of believe it in these certain things. But, my opinion is what we're trying to do is we're trying to help people arrive to those things on their own, not just for us to give them the answer and say, well, you know, that's actually wrong because this is what our creed or this is what our doctrine is here. So what do you do, you know, and I can just share, you know, my experiences, and I think a lot of times you walk away with tension. You walk away from the table sometimes with tension. Mm-hmm. And the thing that even we had this discussion last Sunday in our home around the table with some folks, because how we approach these matters, there, I think in house church, for house church to work and for inductive Bible study to work, you really do have to have this belief that Jesus will lead people into the truth. Mm-hmm. And you have to be willing to let him do that and not be willing to take that role too much on yourself. And so what I mean by that is that we have times where there's clear disagreement about things that, you know, and it wouldn't really help me to say, well, actually, every Christian since the beginning of time disagrees with you, so you need to either accept it or, you know, whatever. You know, I could pull that trump card on people and say, But what a lot of times I've found practically is that we say, this is what I believe. This is what I believe that the Scripture says. Mm-hmm. And if you're in a group where everyone's given a voice and the majority of those people, or even if not, you state with conviction and clarity what you know to be true. And if others disagree, I mean, you let them walk away disagreeing,
right? Yeah.
And they're, you know, and you pray for that person, and you maybe follow it up with an email or another conversation, and elaborate more if you have not time to maybe get into it all. You know, you ask the Lord about how to deal with it from there, and trust His guidance.
Yeah, and it seems like Gavin and I are arguing. We are not. We both have different sensitivities to this. And I would just tell you that our church went through a terrible time years ago where we did have to deal with some false teaching that was inside our church. And I'm just telling you, Gavin, it's going to happen to you, and you're going to get on the air, and you're going to make a public apology to me
for being so anal about it.
But no, seriously, we do want new Christians, and we do want unbelievers to discover that. That's why we call it Discovery Bible Study. We want them to discover what the Scriptures are saying, and the Holy Spirit is a key role in that. But when we don't always agree,
yeah,
little things, and that's fine. I mean, I can disagree with you on the gifts of the Spirit, or I can disagree with you on Calvinism and Arminianism, and I can still call you my brother in Christ. But there are, you know, some beliefs out there that I can't disagree with. I mean, I can't agree with and still call myself a Christian. So as we're studying the Bible, is there a way to maybe keep them on the rails?
Yeah. Well, and you know, and that, and we've talked in podcasts of years ago, you know, I think a great way to think about that is, quote unquote, the bullet test.
That's good.
And
that's
so,
good. Explain the bullet test.
I'll ask you too. So, Tom, what doctrine, what issue would, if someone came to you and said, I disagree, you know, what beliefs would you be willing to die for? I mean, yeah. What issue someone said to you, if someone said to you, you know what, I believe this passage says, and my belief is that women are not allowed to ever speak in a church meeting for mm-hmm. all times and all places, and if someone said to you that, you know, I think you need to change your view on that, whichever view you have, is that an issue that you would be willing to say, I cannot change my view, I will die before I change my view on this?
Yeah.
What issues would you be really willing, if someone put a gun to your head and said, change your view on this?
Yeah.
Or be open to another view. Are you at all open to this not being true? Or are you at all open to this possibly, you know, what would you die for?
Right, right. There are lots of minor issues. You know, secondary, tertiary issues that I would say that this is what I believe, this is what I think is true, and I disagree with you, but I'm not willing to take a bullet for. I'm still going to call you my brother in Christ. But there comes a time where you have, you know, an issue. Who is Jesus Christ? Let's talk about the person of Christ. Who is he? What did he do? If we get that wrong, then we've messed up Christianity pretty much. You know, if he didn't come down from heaven from the throne of God and, you know, live a sinless life and die on the cross for our sins and rise again and is coming back, you know, that's pretty much Christianity right there. When we mess with those things, that's a serious thing. And how do we get that right? How do we make sure we're getting it right?
Yeah, and I would agree. That, to me, would be the bullet. That's probably the lone bullet, to deny that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's the bullet for me. And there's a lot of other issues that, I'm not going to die for apart from that. I mean, there's subsets of that issue, and there would certainly be things that, you know, I would be willing to be open to, even though I might be 99% sure I'm right, the fact that I might be 0.1% sure, not sure, would allow me to be say, oh, maybe I won't die for this one.
Yeah.
But
well, here's okay, let's reverse this. Here's an issue that this may come true someday in the very near future. Nobody's holding a gun to your head, but they are threatening you with jail time if you keep declaring that homosexuality is wrong. You know, that might be a situation where I'm either going to go against my convictions and stay out of jail, or declare my convictions and spend some time in jail, you know?
Yeah, and yeah. That would be, you know, jail is a different bar for me than dying, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But here, again, let's go back.
It is suffering.
Yeah. It is, so, but let's go back. Let's go back to what we're talking about here, because what got this started was you approached me and said, well, what do we do? How do we, you know, do we need to talk about doctrine? And you know, that's sort of what got this led as a...
I think we are talking about doctrine.
We are. Yeah. And I think that when people are starting house church ministry, we have to, again, most people, I think it's just a difference. I think you are a teacher, kind of pastor, teacher kind of guy. I'm probably more in the apostolic kind of thing. So I'm not... You know, there is some rub there sometimes, because those sort of things can sometimes be in opposition. I'm more concerned with getting people going down the roads, and
yeah.
You're kind of like, whoa, wait a minute, because that's just the way God's wired you, and that's a good thing. That's your gift to the church, I think, you know. Not, you know. So how do we work these things out together? They're not. It's not that one's more important than the other.
No,
they're both,
absolutely not.
They're both important. But the
Apostle Paul was very concerned about doctrine.
Absolutely, and that's what his letter, you know. But again, he was writing these letters to churches that had been in existence for sometimes years, saying,
yeah.
"Hey, like, I've heard you guys are getting it wrong." And I look at that and I say, "Oh gosh, we got to make sure people get it right." You kind of come at me that way. I may come at and say, "Well, hey, he had churches out there that were having a hard time getting it wrong. They didn't have it all right for
right.
years sometimes before he was even able to write them a letter." And we've got internet, Skype. You know, we'll be able to help people and get to the, you know, and encourage people
okay.
and correct people and meet with them
so
and visit with them.
You just came up with part of the answer to the question. You know, you're monitoring and you're following up with your churches, with your people, right?
Mm-hmm.
How are you, by what basis are you saying you're getting that wrong and you need to get it right this way? On what basis?
Well, I don't know that, like, for what, give me an example. Like, what do you mean on what basis?
What would you do if you came up with, oh, okay, you got, like, your life transformation group, three very novice Christians that have never much read the Bible, and they come up against this passage, I don't know, pick a topic, I don't know, is salvation by works or is salvation by faith, or does it include both? And one guy says, no, it's all works. One guy says, no, it's all faith, and works are not that important. And one guy says, no, it's got to be both. And is there a way to say, you're partially right.
And I'm not in this. I'm not in this life transformation group. This is just a life transformation group that I hear about.
Okay, yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
Mm-hmm. That could be, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Or you hear about it.
Or I'm
know,
in it.
You're not in it. Or
okay.
Okay. How can those three or other people, is there a resource that they can resolve it? You know, is there something that they can... Are there tools to help them figure it out? In other words, is there any value to, like, going back to the church fathers and saying, "Hey, let's see what the Apostles' Creed said about this"? You know, it's not scripture, but it's, you know, it was very well thought out and it's based on scripture. I'm taking it with a grain of salt, but look what these guys said.
I would if that happened, I would totally do. This has happened, and I would believe wholeheartedly and encourage this group wholeheartedly to search for the truth and
mm-hmm.
to seek the Lord. And
okay.
if He leads them to look up church fathers, I would certainly not discourage that.
Right.
But I think that what I think that a lot of times The goal is not to get the to get the answer, to get that solved. It's to keep people searching.
Yeah.
Because
I agree.
It's in this search that the Lord, I mean for me to just kind of come in and say, well, you two are right, you're definitely wrong, you're kind of right. Because, you know, if they ask my opinion, sure, I'm going to tell them. I'm going to say, you know, if they set me down. But even then, how did Jesus do it? What, you know, how did he handle those situations? Okay. Sometimes, like with religious leaders, he beat them over the head. But sometimes, and depending on the people, I mean, one of those guys that might be wrong, you know, he might be off the boat a little bit. But if you know the person, you have a relationship with them, you might know that, man, it wouldn't be quite right for me they're not ready for me to just tell them the truth. I need to ask them a question or two. I need to encourage them.
Yeah.
I need to encourage them to really search for this answer.
Okay.
You know, and so I guess sometimes in my heart, I guess that's where I think God can work all that out. And I know that drives people that are shepherds and some folks like I really believe that if people are seeking him, then he's going to, they will find the answer. They will, if they seek him, they will find him. And if they're not really seeking him, if they're just there to kind of try to cause trouble, they're not really interested in finding the truth, then they're probably not going to be there very long anyways. They'll get tired. It's not going to, the cost is going to be too high to actually study the Bible and read the Bible and really do the hard work of prayer and like looking up things, you know. But if they are, if they're genuinely searching, I think that the Lord will, they will find him and he will give them answers. And it might be different. And, you know, I shudder to think, man, some of the things I thought about and believed, you know, 10 years ago.
Yeah,
you know,
I agree.
It's a journey. And sometimes we have to take the long-term approach, like with doctrine, I think. It's like a friend of mine who came to me and wanted to know if he could be a part of a house church, and he was struggling with homosexuality. And, you know, in that moment, I knew that I wasn't supposed to just tell him, well, you know, this is the official, this is what the Bible teaches about homosexuality, don't you? I mean, to give him a little lecture about it. By God's grace, I was able to say, well, why don't you pursue Christ, and I'll pursue him with you as a friend, and let's see if he sorts this out for you.
Right.
And by God's grace, he is sorting it out
yeah.
for him.
And that could be anything. Homosexuality,
it could be
anger, it could be lust,
yeah.
It could be anything. So,
I think, I don't know. I think we're at the same, we both have the same heart. I definitely want people, I think I want, you know, as people do inductive Bible study, as they, I think we can really give this away and let people, I mean, it's what we talk about. We say that Jesus is the head of the church. He is the leader of the church. He will lead our meetings. We say these sorts of things in house church circles. Sometimes I'm really willing to push that, I guess, as far as I possibly can. And if that means I stand before God someday and he says, you know, man, you didn't lead, you didn't give enough, and like you didn't lead enough, you weren't strong, you didn't give the right answers, you trusted me too much that I would help people come to the truth on their own, like I would rather take that than to say you were out there telling people what to believe and you didn't give people the chance to follow me and find me for themselves, or
yeah.
You know, I don't think that's what you're saying, but that's my heartbeat. That's just kind of where I'm at with it, you know.
I see your point, and then I also see, you know, Paul saying contend for the faith.
Yeah.
And you know, he was pretty serious because he did see a lot of error. You know, he and it must have broke his heart. You know, he'd go to these cities and you know, teach them for months and years and everything, and then to find out, you know, months later, years later, that they went off the rails. It's like,
oh, you know, you see it. Not only did it break his heart, it ticked him off. I mean, he's like, I wish you would just emasculate themselves all, go ahead and just cut the whole thing off. Like when they were, you know, he was getting mad about circumstances.
Yeah.
And that's right. That, I think that is, I shouldn't, that maybe that's not a given to everyone, but I think like you and I, we sit here and we sort of understand the what we would say are traditional Christian doctrines. That's
mm-hmm.
the whole reason we're here.
Right.
We're here because we believe the Bible is the infallible Word of God and that it's authority. We believe that's why we're doing house church. We believe that,
and we grew up with that for years and years and years. And then we're ministering to people that this is brand new.
It's brand new. And you want to help people get on the track of searching, and that's where I think that the modern church has failed a lot of the younger people. We've just been answer men, you know, like mm-hmm. come here and we'll tell you what to believe. Well, people don't want to be. People are skeptical of anyone that tells them what that yeah. they want to. We have to give respect to that process yeah. of discovering biblical truth and letting people. I think people want to discover it from themselves, and we have to be patient with people. We have to know that if there's a 19-year-old kid who's struggling with maybe he doesn't have his doctrine completely right as yeah. you and I would think it to be right. We have to be willing to look the long-term view and say maybe if we just don't break fellowship with this person, learn to bear with them. Teach them and model for them, give them gentle answers and rebuke along the way, that maybe when they're 50, they will. God, maybe it's going to take that process, because that's kind of how it's happened with me and how I've changed, and I believe to come to in line maybe with believing
you don't look
more
50.
Things that's true. Well, it's been over time, you know what I'm saying? So
neither do I.
That's kind of where I'm at with it. I mean, I think it's an important issue, and I'm glad you brought it up, because I would say that if you're in this process with us here and listening to this podcast, this issue, I think, maybe more than any, I want to prevent people from really getting into it, because we don't like confrontation. What happens right. if you – and we're having – you may sense that we have just a little bit different ways of seeing things. This isn't even a big deal, but what if someone is sitting in your living room that doesn't believe, like maybe very
– Well, not only believes something different, but is actually teaching something different and – propagating that to others.
Yeah,
I mean that's a whole new tripwire, you know.
And
I
would say, you know, just to piggyback on that thought, I think that lends some more questions, because we generally think teaching someone, are we, you know, this in our house churches, everyone's teaching everyone. So yeah. every week, I would say there is some false teaching that's happening. Now it's also corrected. Right there on the spot,
right,
usually.
Right. But what basis are you correcting it?
Well, people are opening up the Word and saying, hey, well, this is what the Bible says, you know, here, and this is what I believe. And there's tension, and we walk away with tension. You know, a lot, sometimes it's not the most comfortable thing. But yeah. but we don't like tension. We don't like things to be uncomfortable.
No. I hate tension. If you know anything about me, I would avoid tension. I'm, you know, fight or flight, I'm the flight guy.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why I'm a pilot. But I'm definitely not a fighter. But there are some times when you gotta take a stand, and God will tell
you're a lover, not a fighter. Michael Jackson, Paul McCartney.
Is that it?
I hear you.
My hard drive doesn't have much Michael Jackson in it, so
hey, this is a good one. This is, I think, a good discussion.
I enjoy this. This is good, I hope the audience is hearing a balance between us. We're not disagreeing with each other. We're kind of agreeing, but from different aspects. So.
I think it's just a reflection of kind of your gifts, my gifts, our heartbeat, your heartbeat.
Yeah.
And you're a teacher. I mean, your heart, I mean, I've known that about you since I've known you. Like, you love to teach. You love to teach doctrine. You love to teach theology. That's kind of, and that's great. That's awesome. And that's a gift to the body of
but
Christ.
But a good way to teach it is to let them learn it.
Yeah, you know, that's
allow
what,
them to learn it. And I hear your heartbeat, too.
Yeah, so. That's good. Well, yeah. That's probably a good place to end it. So,
yeah.
Thanks for joining us. And round two of Tom and I's fist fight will occur next week.
We'll see you next time. Thanks for listening to Keep It Simple. If you've enjoyed this podcast, leave us a comment at keepitsimplepodcast.com or find us on iTunes or Facebook. We welcome your feedback, your ratings, your questions, or comments. Keep it simple.